This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
This is The Jerry Callahan Show.
Normally I get to see what you have for dinner, and we talk about it. When we get together in the morning, I ask about your dinner, all the side dishes, the main dish, how you cooked it, you know, how you prepared it. That's one of our things. And Facebook was down, and I was lost, man. I was just like untethered. Thank God it's back. You got to tweet out your breakfast. That was lovely. I got to see your Eggs Benedict this morning. You did a wonderful job. You didn't bring any for me.
But as you know, I don't eat toast, Jerry, so there was no Eggs Benedict.
Oh, no toast.
No bread, no carbs, yeah. Only pretty much a pure meat diet.
Well, it was Eggs Benedict without the toast, okay. Right? It was just whatever, cheese and eggs. I can't stand that. I can't look at Eggs Benedict, and I'm like the least picky eater. I'll eat anything, but
what about it? Is it not the sauce, not the hollandaise?
No, it's just the egg is poached and it's just not cooked enough.
Oh, you don't like runny yolk.
My father was into, you know, that poached eggs, and my wife is now. She makes eggs Benedict, and apparently she does a great job of it. But it's just one thing I can't eat.
Are you refusing food that your wife is making for you?
Rarely, but yeah. Well, she doesn't make that for me because she'll ask, do you want Eggs Benedict? And I say, I can't even watch you eat it. It's just one of those things. And normally I'll eat anything she sticks in front of me and enjoy it. My wife is an incredible cook. It's amazing. I don't weigh 400 pounds. She cooks healthy now for the most part. Like everybody, you could follow her on Facebook and you could see what we have for dinner every night. Is Facebook back,
by the way? Did she actually put that out? Well, I checked it this morning right before we went live and it looked like I could post there. So I think.
Oh, thank God.
I know. You're really upset.
I couldn't share in the national panic. I'm being facetious. Obviously we use Facebook, but I don't, sit there on it and converse with people. I'm not a Facebook guy.
Me neither.
I'm not a social media guy. I read books mostly. Yeah. I read, and you know, I spend most of my time contemplating, thinking, you know, writing and reading. And I'm not a social media guy. Unlike you.
Well, you're a Twitter guy. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
You tweet the crap out of yourself on
once
Twitter.
Once in a while. Well, you know, I don't tweet out what I had for lunch.
That's true. That's for Instagram. No, I don't like Facebook. It's a lot of family infighting. It feels like with Twitter, you're seeing a lot more news, right?
So exactly.
You have a lot, you have a way to contact people that are interesting, that are outside your friend circles. But on Facebook, that's not how it works.
It's too bad that Twitter is like Facebook and Instagram. It's run by the woke mob. It's too bad. But you know what? I feel good about this because we are now on Locals, as you have been dutifully promoting.
Yep.
And we were forced, in a way, I guess we were chased over to Locals. If you haven't been keeping up, before Facebook went dark, and we don't exactly know why yet, right?
I don't know why. No.
Some whistleblower will come forward.
I just don't understand why they don't have backups. That's the strange thing for me. I don't get why.
See, I don't understand any of it. I was counting on you to explain it to me.
I don't think anybody really knows for sure right now, but as soon as we'll figure it out and then I'll explain it to you.
But as we mentioned yesterday and we talked about last week, we were kicked off YouTube again. We had another strike. And as far as you know, we get three and you're out?
Three and you're out, yeah. Well, they will. So you had one sometime in 2020, I think it was. And they do fall
that's when
off
we were,
eventually.
That's when we were stoking the insurrection. We were encouraging people to storm the Capitol.
Yeah.
Yes. But this time, we got a strike for what we believe was playing the sound of NBA players who are vaccine hesitant, as they say, or vaccine skeptics.
Yep.
And we were careful. I've always been careful not to say, don't get, I mean, I'm not an anti-vaxxer at all. I like debate. I like hearing both sides of an issue. I like questions. I like curiosity. That's what, you know, what we do here. We ask questions.
How can you be an anti-vaxxer when you took the vaccine?
don't.
I know it's confusing.
Don't confuse matters here. Anything that is not 100%, just give me the jab. Give me twice. Give me five times. Don't ask questions. Don't ask about side effects. Don't allow people to even express any skepticism is sick. It's so anti-American when you think about it. Jonathan Isaac or Cole Beasley or whoever, they're not Robert Kennedy Jr. They're not saying they're implanting a microchip. The government's tracking you.
No.
They're just saying essentially, and we can read Cole Beasley. He had a really good, I don't know if it was a tweet, a Twitter post or Instagram,
it was yesterday, right?
But it made the rounds. And he said, he claims he's getting booed and heckled in his home stadium. The Bills fans are yelling at him for not being vaccinated. He's 32 years old. He's obviously healthy. He's not backed down at all. He's not quietly saying, I don't really want to do it. He's saying, I'm not doing it. Here's why. The opening line is, I'm not taking it because I don't need it. That's what he said.
Yeah.
Now, if we play that, if there were audio, you know, YouTube would kick you off. It's just, it's insane. The idea that you can't have a debate and a healthy, robust exchange of ideas that is not only frowned upon, it's banned. It's banned. And we played Jonathan Isaac last week, the NBA player from Orlando, mm-hmm. who was incredibly smart, thoughtful, articulate, really, really worth listening to. And if you play it now on YouTube, you get banned. That should outrage everyone. I understand it doesn't outrage the woke mob because that's their, that's their thing, shutting down dissent, shutting down voices that disagree with them. But if you can't see how un-American, how wrong that is, I mean, you're hopeless. And we are not on YouTube now. Correct?
No.
We're on Locals because they won't allow us to play an NBA player who answers a question from the media about the vaccine and why they're hesitant. Well, and when you think about it, it's not a post. You know, it's not an Instagram post or Twitter or Facebook. It's just a guy who has got an obligation. He has, by the rules, to sit in front of the media. And when the media asks him why he's unvaccinated, he explains. And we play that, and I'm sure hundreds of other people played it on YouTube.
There are other places where it is up on YouTube. I saw it on YouTube.
Oh, did you?
But they didn't get shut down.
I guess we discussed it.
Yes.
And what do you say? I mean, maybe you could...
We said he was reasonable.
Yeah, maybe if you say this troglodyte, you know, this moron doesn't understand science, maybe we'd still be up if we said that, you think?
Maybe that's what would have done it.
Okay, next time.
Well,
next
and you saw, so you saw the post that I did a video about, just kind of talking about what happened. I fought it and I fought the strike and I messaged YouTube. Hey, listen, number one, we didn't say this. And number two, we're not anti-vax. We're just playing this sound of this, you know, articulate NBA player. And they denied that. They denied it. And we're still, I think we're locked out until tomorrow.
Well, the story is that they're doing that. I said hundreds, probably millions.
Yeah, en masse. Yeah.
They're doing it to people, anybody who expresses skepticism, including doctors and nurses. I mean, it's insane how this is not a scandal, but it's not. There are a handful of oligarchs in Silicon Valley who decide what message gets through and what does not. And it is amazing. Like, these things change, you know, like you weren't allowed to talk about natural immunity. Fauci never does. Yep. And we'll get to that weasel. God, he just gets more slimy every day. But flip-flop Fauci is one of his great flip-flops yesterday. Yesterday, and I'm not sure how many people have seen it because obviously their work gets buried, gets censored. But Project Veritas, once again, does a great undercover video where they, I don't know how they do it. I think they have some hot chicks that work for them. I think
that's probably
James O'Keefe hires, you know, pretty young assistants, and they set up these guys at the bars. You know, they did it with I think it was a Facebook executive last time, or some, was it Twitter or Facebook? And they get buzzed and they start babbling, and next thing they know, it's going viral. Well, they get a scientist from Pfizer.
inside portion of the actual virus. So your antibodies are probably better at that point than the vaccination.
And he's drinking and he's eating. You could see at some bar. And he's probably thinking, I'm going to get lucky tonight. And the girl, the woman, has a camera in her purse. And she gets the guy on video saying, oh, natural immunity is better than our vaccine. This is a guy from Pfizer admitting it. Now, that should be, everything being equal, that'd be a huge story, right?
Yes, it would.
It would be like the lead in the evening news with Lester Holt. They'd be saying, okay, we've been telling you that you have to get vaccinated even if you've got natural immunity, even if you've already had COVID. Turns out that's a load of crap. Let's listen to this scientist undercover, you know, with a couple of pina coladas in him. I don't know what he's drinking in this video, but it doesn't look very manly. But what if there were a real news? If we had real media, if it wasn't just up to James O'Keefe or you know, Twitter, some people on Twitter to share this.
That's what the media is for, is to push back against tremendous power that's what they're supposed to be for.
No,
free press, but they're not free. They're a captured press.
They are the arm of the deep state, of the swamp. That's what they are now.
Super disappointing.
And they've made a star out of the Stephanie Grissom, who was the press secretary for Melania. She's out talking about whatever, Jared Kushner and what a weasel he was. And so she's going to be a big hit. But the Project Veritas video, most people will never see it. It will never get publicized. And today, they will be demanding, actually today, there'll be firings. There are firings all across the country of teachers and cops and healthcare workers who've had COVID, have natural immunity. They're all set. They don't need the vaccine. They'll get fired for not getting the vaccine when on this day, we have a Pfizer executive, a scientist saying natural immunity is better than the vaccine. But if you don't take the vaccine, if you have natural immunity, you could lose your career, your job. And by the way, you're not eligible for unemployment. It's going to destroy people who have good reason not to get vaccinated, who have had COVID. And by the way, some of them, like cops and nurses, how did they get COVID? They got it by being on the front lines,
right,
and doing this job, which we considered heroic a year ago.
We were clapping,
which earned them applause when they went out in public. If you saw someone in those
scrubs,
hospital scrubs, those Johnnies, whatever, then you applauded. If you saw a cop who was, you know, answering the call and tending to people and going to domestic violence, they might be getting COVID from that job, which they will now lose if they don't get an unnecessary injection. It's such a bizarro world we're living in right now. It really is nuts. And I guess, will we ever know what happened to Facebook and Instagram? Will we ever know why?
I think we'll know what
will
happened.
Will there be anything political involved here? Will there be anything, nefarious?
I keep waiting for Anonymous to come out and take credit for it.
That's true.
It sounds like it was an inside job. Someone did something. Someone deleted something, and it caused this thing. So I don't know. It seemed like it was on a. I read somewhere too, just kind of fleeting, that it was on some sort of time lock too. Someone did it, and then 12 hours later, the thing went down.
And
so I think there's going to be ways to track it, but we'll see how much we get. I don't know how Zuckerberg rules Facebook with an iron fist. I don't know if he'll let anything out, but things leak. So I think we'll know.
Someone is testifying today. I don't know if Zuckerberg, but some of these big tech titans, I don't know. They're always testifying and they always, you know, think they're going to get them and think somehow they'll be held accountable, but they never are because they've paid off everybody, Republicans, Democrats. Google pays off everybody and they can get away with anything. Same with Facebook. I mean, it is frightening how powerful they are at this point.
This is the problem. If you want government to regulate business, then regulators can get captured because regulators don't know how to write these laws. They have lawyers. And so they've got lawyers and supporters from that exact industry who are writing the laws, and they always do it in the favor of the big and the powerful. That's why you had Blue Cross Blue Shield Anthem lobbying for the ACA. You'd think, why would we want to put more regulations on ourselves? Because they know, the Blue Cross Anthem knew that they could set the tone, they could set the laws, which would kill anybody who is competing with them. That's
the
problem.
Again, I mean, we should be able to hear both sides. And you would think, you know, with more, you know, outlets, with more platforms, you'd be able to have more diversity of opinion. But the opinion has never been less diverse.
Right now.
I mean, because there are so many rules and restrictions, things you can say, you can't say. I mean, we didn't talk about this yesterday, but this is the point it's reached. A woman died, and I can get the...
We did. Right, that's right. You retweeted it. I'll find it.
A woman passed. She was 37 years old. She died after getting vaccinated, and she was a skeptic. She didn't want to. She had side effects. She passed away. So they put it in the obituary, what she thought about the vaccine and what happened to her. Twitter puts a warning on a obituary. Obituaries are essentially written by the family, the survivors, you know, the widower, whoever, the kids. If your parents die, everyone knows, you know, you write the obituary and you pay for it. You know, newspapers charge and you pay for it and you put the obituary in the paper. So the family does an obituary. You could see it, a guy that, you know, loved his grandchildren and loved, you know, walks in the park, whatever. They put personal stuff in there. So they put personal stuff in this woman's obit.
It's Jessica Berg Wilson, by the way.
Jessica, from Seattle. She's from Seattle. Yeah. She died in September. And in this obit, they put what? That she was skeptical of the vaccine?
She didn't want to get it in the first place, but she was starting to have roadblocks to doing things with her family. Like, they were, okay, you can't go to the school, or you can't go to this PTA meeting or whatever until you get it. So she decided that she would. She eventually broke down, got the vaccine, and died.
And had obviously adverse reactions, and vaccine induced what? Thrombosis.
Thrombosis. Thrombocytopenia. Yeah.
Wow. That's a big one. Put that, obviously, cause of death, and they put her, you know, her attitude in the obit. Twitter flags it. They're flagging obituaries now. That is chilling when you think about it. They got somebody there somewhere in Silicon Valley checking to see if you put any dangerous misinformation in your obituary. Honest to God, there is no limit to the overreach of these people, and it is frightening. And they're not letting up. They're not slowing down. It doesn't matter that the numbers are plummeting of deaths and hospitalizations, at least in, you know, Florida and down south. Up here in New England, the most vaccinated places are getting hit the hardest. And it doesn't matter. They're not going to stop. They're not even subtle about it, you know? I mean, they're not subtle about banning people, about strikes. And they flex their muscles. They know they have paid off everybody there is to pay off in D.C., and there's nothing anyone's going to do about it. Josh Hawley or Ted Cruz will talk a good game, and maybe they'll introduce a bill. Maybe they'll want to strip them of Section 23 protections. But they know all the Democrats and a good number of Republicans will continue to carry the water for big tech because they are getting huge donations.
And part of it is they keep dragging Zuckerberg and Jack to the Hill to testify. But you can clearly tell that Congress doesn't understand the products.
Right.
So what's the point?
Did you see the other day when Dick Blumenthal, the sleazy senator from Connecticut, started asking you can find it, you know better than I do, what they're going to do about Finsta?
No. Finsta?
Finsta, yes. He didn't know what it was, and it was kind of funny, demanding. And I think the execs kind of just said, you know, we'll look into that, sir, or something. But he actually was grilling them, saying they have to do something about Finsta, and somebody they had to, like, pull him aside and explain what Finsta
fake,
was.
Is it fake Instagram?
It's just a term for fake accounts or whatever. I don't know. I mean, you can...
fake Instagram. The expression is popular among Gen Z and millennials to denote the private Instagram account meant just for close friends.
And give me the comment. Give me the question that creep Blumenthal asked. He said, what, asking the executive or telling the executive they must do something about Finsta? And I think this person just kind of rolled their eyes.
Will you commit to ending Finsta?
Ask the 75-year-old lying Vietnam guy who said, you know, he was slugging it out with Charlie in Vietnam, and apparently he was, like, you know, in Hawaii on desk duty or something, lied about his service famously. What did the executive respond when he asked about Finsta.
Facebook does not do Finsta at all. Finsta is in fact a slang word. Let me see if I can find the quote from the Facebook peeps.
I think they were, they went gentle on this idiot.
Well, but
that's what you're dealing with. You're dealing with, you know, Chuck Grassley, 112 years old, or Blumenthal asking questions about something about which they have no idea.
Yeah. Antigone Davis, the social media, Facebook's global head of safety, said, Facebook does not do Finsta at all.
She replied gingerly. The story says. Yeah. She replied gingerly to this moron asking about something. I mean, you think he probably has a staff of 50 people, interns and grad students. You think they could have helped him with that?
Or just go on Instagram sometime and play around. You'll figure it out pretty quick.
Yes.
You did.
Yes, you're but Facebook's back?
I think it is. This morning it looked like it, but I haven't spent any time there.
Thank God. We were worried. We're not on there today, though.
No, we're only here on Locals.
We're only here on Locals. You must join Locals. You must sign up, even if you don't subscribe. You can get on Locals and see us.
Well, so if you're in the community, if you're here, you're subscribing. If you want to support us, then that's $6 a month or $60 a year, and you get the extra show on Friday and some other stuff.
Yeah, some other stuff. We don't.
But supporters are the payers, and community members or subscribers are the non-paying so far.
Yes.
And, so be a supporter.
Be a supporter. Yeah, sign up. Friday show. Just for subscribers and supporters. And what are we doing this Friday? Supporters. Did we figure that out yet?
We'll be on live on Locals.
I know, but what are we going to do for the show? Yeah, I know the technical.
I mean, you're the content lead of this.
I thought you'd have some
Jerry
ideas.
Callahan show. I've got tons of ideas, my friend.
Sure you do. Yeah.
All right.
We got lots to get to on today's Callahan show, brought to you, as always, by our friends at DCU. Why do DCU members love their free checking accounts? It's simple. No monthly maintenance fees, no minimum balance, and no strings attached. What's better is with direct deposit to their free checking account, DCU members can get paid up to 2 days early. Who doesn't love getting paid early? Zero monthly maintenance fees, zero monthly balance, zero reasons not to switch. They will even remove the hassle of switching your direct deposits and automatic payments from your current checking account. Learn more and make the switch today at dcu.org/freechecking, insured by NCUA. Membership required. All right, this is not a big deal, but, you know, I took my lumps from being wrong about the Patriots and Brady.
You got off easy, by the way.
I admitted, what are you talking about? I admitted on Twitter I took a beating. I sat here with you.
A
Turtle Boy attacked me mercilessly.
That's true.
On Twitter. And, you know, I admitted flat out that I thought Brady was going to win in a rout. He didn't. The Patriots made him look bad. He was flustered. The moment was big, and apparently it got to him. Mac Jones was much, much better. I went through the whole checklist of things I got wrong, things that surprised me. Of course, the Patriots lost, and they're 1-3 going to play the 1-3 Houston Texans. The other day, or two nights ago, they played the one of the most watched, you know, one of the biggest regular season games ever in the NFL. Ratings are huge. 30 million people were watching. It was a big, big deal. Everyone was talking about it. This week, they play the 1-3 Texans, and they get the Z team. You know, like the broadcasters, they get like Sam Ratigliano and John Marita Perrell. Those are going to be the two
broadcasters. Is John going to be there?
Yeah.
Sure. Really? And you're lying.
Sideline reporter is going to be the
fan. I don't know that first name, so I can't tell if you're kidding or not.
The sideline reporter is going to be the fabulous sports babe. She's back.
All right, good.
But this is the Z team. This is a game nobody's going to watch. They're going to go from 30 million viewers to about, you know, 112 viewers this week. It's going to be, and God knows if they lose that, and they might have one of those letdown games. But it's the problem with losing the moral victory. It's still, you know, it's a loss, and it hurts you in the independent race. And there's going to be like nobody watching if they don't win a few here, because, you know, when you're out of the race by Thanksgiving and you know, got a rookie quarterback and the Bills run away with it, it could get grim around here. This could be the finest moment of the season, almost beating Brady on Sunday Night Football. We'll see how they recover or react or follow that up. But
so it was the largest Sunday Night Football viewership since the NFC East game, Dallas, Washington, in 1990 with 30 million viewers.
That was 1990?
1990, yeah.
Wow. That's crazy. That is amazing. I'm not surprised. It was a tight game, not a beautiful game, but a close game, an intense game, an interesting game. And, you know, I enjoyed the hell out of it. I wish there were more games like that. But we got to get to this Biden story because, I mean, the Biden story, but the Kyrsten Sinema attack. You know what I said yesterday?
What'd you say?
I heard it. I listened to it, and I said that somebody will say, you know, it's just part of the process. Those things happen. When they attacked Kyrsten Sinema, accosted her in the ladies' room. If that were, again, AOC or Nancy Pelosi or Ayanna Pressley, and the person accosting her had a red MAGA hat, didn't have to be a man, although there was a man in the ladies' room, but we know that's cool now. That's okay. But had that been reversed, had that been AOC, it would not only be the biggest story in the country, the person with the camera, with the phone, doing the talking, doing the yapping, would be in jail. I believe that 100%. It's illegal to videotape someone in the bathroom. You think they wouldn't press charges if that were a MAGA guy? If that were a MAGA woman, a MAGA hat attacking an AOC about whatever, political, a bill, a vote. It's like everything else these days, it just kind of illuminates the double standard, the two-tier justice system. That would be a huge shoot story. It's all they'd be doing on New York Times and Washington Post, NBC, and that person, if not all the people in that little group of activists, would be arrested. They'd be in jail. No charges yet, pending. Be in solitary, you know, 4, 6, 8 months. It would be huge. AOC would be crying on the camera, saying she thought she was going to be murdered and raped. Again, she said she thought she was going to be raped and murdered on January 6th. She wasn't even in the same building as the rioters, the unarmed rioters. These people, these pests, these creeps who followed Sinema into the bathroom and demanded she vote their way, because if she doesn't, they're going to get her out of office, says the woman. Well, if you thought that woman was just detestable and over the top, check out her story. She has a PhD. She's a DACA recipient, an illegal alien, with a PhD in microbiology and immunology.
That's the woman who followed Sinema into the
bathroom? Her name is Sofia Marjanovic.
That's crazy.
She's got a PhD. And I'm often accused. People say, well, you know, why do you hate liberals? I don't hate liberals. I have liberals friends. I have liberal family members. You know what I hate?
What do you hate?
Ingrates. I hate people who are ungrateful, and unappreciative. And this woman, I guarantee you, has got a free ride her whole life. She's an illegal alien who went to college and got a friggin' bachelor's degree, probably a master's degree, and a PhD. Do you think she's paid a nickel for that, or do you think Uncle Sap picked up the check? I'm not saying I know for sure. I don't, but I'm just guessing. She knows how to game the system. She's got, you know, all kinds of benefits on us, on the taxpayers, and doesn't give a damn. Still doesn't give a damn. Says, but does nothing but bitch about this country and its treatment of indigenous people. And she goes on this rant about we're on stolen land. Well, she's been on stolen land her whole life. You know, she probably owns some stolen land, conquered land, we call it. And, you know, she got an education, a free education, got all the benefits. I'm sure she's had all kinds of financial aid and all kinds of grants and gifts, and still bitches about this great country and still, you know, doesn't want to go home. I don't know where she's from. Sofia Marjanovic doesn't sound, you know, Mexican, but
no,
apparently she talks.
She got married. Who knows?
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. And she talks about, you know, her grandfather died. She couldn't go home to the funeral. Well, who's stopping you?
Well, that's,
you could have gone home to the funeral. Yeah. And by the way, she's got a PhD. She couldn't get citizenship. I mean, that's how citizenship is supposed to work. You give people doctors and, you know, people.
There's no way she got that with she at least has a permanent resident status. She at least has a green card.
Right.
I know. I mean, I did that. My wife has a green card. My wife is Brazilian. We went through all this immigration process. She has to at least have that to have a PhD.
Of course. And I mean, obviously,
so she's not illegal. What the hell is she talking about?
If this were reversed again, we'd know everything about her. We'd know what she posted on Facebook. We'd know her Twitter. We'd know all her associations. We'd know if she was in the Oath Keepers. She's in some crazy pro-illegal immigration organization, which is who she was representing when she accosted Sinema. And then they accosted Sinema on the plane.
Well, that's the thing. It's not even just once.
They went to her house.
It's not just once. It keeps happening.
They won't let up.
It's a stalker.
And to me, I think, and I'm generally not, you know, I don't have a lot of confidence in Democrats to do the right thing. I think Sinema is the type. She's kind of a renegade. She thinks she's, you know, the Democrat version of John McCain, the maverick. But, and she, this is not going to make her more likely to
oh,
bow.
Oh, no, she's going
to
get
to
opposite.
Bend, to give in to the radical lefties, to give in to, this is, these are AOC's people. These are Bernie people. They want the $3.5 trillion boondoggle, which includes hiring 80,000 enforcers for the IRS to monitor everybody's bank accounts. That's what amazes me. There are a lot of Democrats, obviously everybody in the media, supporting this. Do they understand? I mean, a lot of them are rich. A lot of them have businesses. Do they understand what they're supporting? This is a big step towards authoritarianism.
Yeah, liberals used to, fight for privacy and for civil liberties, and that's all gone.
That's all absolutely all gone. They fight for the state.
Yeah, they want
to fight for more centralized power, more power for the federal government. And if this doesn't give you pause, if this doesn't give you a little chill up your spine, you're not paying attention. 80,000 new enforcers for the IRS. They want the power to monitor any transaction you make in your bank account over $600.
Yep.
So what happens is if you, you know, sell your bicycle.
I bought a car a few years ago and withdrew $4,000. It was just an old car that I wanted to, it was an old like Merc. And I had to fill out all sorts of paperwork because I took it out cash from my bank because the feds wanted to see it. $4,000.
That's going to be down to $600.
I know.
So if you bought, up in New Hampshire, you bought a new gun. They want to know. They want to know what you did with that money. By the way, if you buy a gun with your, you know, $600.
I'm already on a list.
There is a big time flag there. There is a neon flag.
I'm a gun owner, Bitcoin owner, worked in blockchain tech for a long time, libertarian, free state project. I'm on so many lists.
You are halfway in that deplorable. You got one foot in that deplorable jail.
That's why when you retire, I'm out.
It is amazing to me that anybody would say yes. I guess there are some lunatics, AOC type crazies, who hate this country, want to see it destroyed, want to see all power go to the state, I mean, to the federal government. And they think this is a good idea. Yeah, you know, people, too many people are cheating on their taxes. Too many people aren't paying their fair share, which is a load of crap to begin with. But isn't that amazing that, $600, if you have a family of four or five or six, that's a grocery bill.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. That's exactly right.
And they want that flag, and they want one of the new 80,000 federal agents to monitor it and say, did that, you know, was that a legal transaction? And if it's incoming revenue, like a sale of whatever, your bicycle or sale of your shotgun, they want to make sure you pay taxes.
Yeah.
So you sell something and you know, people sell things on whatever, Facebook Marketplace.
Well, I was just thinking
Craigslist. I mean,
that's all trackable.
Yeah, they'll track that. So you sell whatever you sell on Facebook Marketplace, you know, a set of tires.
Yeah.
And you sell it for $600. They want their, whatever it is, the sales tax on that. And there are people who support this. That's all you need to know. Is this not about, you know, spending? It's not about the Green New Deal. It's not about, you know, infrastructure. It's about gaining more control over you from the federal level. And if you don't know that by now, you got to open your eyes.
If liberals actually wanted taxes to be done the right way, to be, you know, so there's no loophole, so no one was getting away with anything, they would support a flat tax,
right? Which will never happen.
They should support a flat tax with no, what's the word, when you with no write-offs. That's how you would do it.
No loophole. Well, loophole, I hate the term, because loophole just means you follow the law. I mean, Congress makes the law. If there's a loophole, Congress allowed it. It's not the fault of the greedy millionaire.
Everybody's trying to pay less taxes. I mean, based on the tax code. That's what you do.
Right.
Unfortunately, tax law is written by big companies and captured regulators. So you get
plenty of flat tax proponents. Malcolm,
who's the guy
Steve
in the 90s?
Forbes,
Steve Forbes.
And others, I think Herman Cain, others have proposed flat tax, 12%, 13%. But they won't do it. They love the power of the IRS. God
That's
knows
right.
Obama used the IRS to go after his political enemies, which to me was a real scandal that he got away with. And they feel like they're going to get more. They're going to. I mean, it's not about revenue, by the way. It's about punishing.
It's about punishment
your enemies.
Control.
Going after your enemies. They write the tax law so that the bottom 50% pay nothing, the top 1% pay 40%, and yet they still demonize them and say you don't pay your fair share. We've gone over it before. If you're in New York City and you make over whatever, 200 grand, they want you to pay 60% of your income in tax to the state, the feds, and the local government. And then they want to say you're not paying enough. No matter what you pay, it's not enough. It's all about class warfare, which is what Democrats do and what they really are good at, making demonize one group of people. Now it's the unvaccinated, by the way. Now it's the rich and the unvaccinated are the bad guys. Let's get them. And that's what this is all about. I mean, they took their little kayaks and surrounded Joe Manchin's boat. He lives on a boat in D.C., and they were yelling at him, saying, you know, this will cost zero. I love that idea, by the way. Is there anybody in America
who believes a 3.5 trillion is zero. Just going to come out of thin air? I mean, they'll print.
Yeah, it isn't going to cost us anything. I mean, even if you just love Joe Biden, the government, I'm not who you are, nobody believes that.
The government doesn't have anything, doesn't produce anything. The only thing that the government has is what it takes from somebody else.
That's all.
That's it.
And people unfortunately,
don't make that realization.
Unfortunately, people don't understand that. I wish they did. I wish they understand that more. Government doesn't create jobs. You know,
picks winners.
Improve the economy. I mean, it's just, it's silly, but they have found, and it becomes clear every day that the idea from the beginning, you know, when Joe Biden got the nomination was to take this guy who appeared harmless, who appeared moderate, who looked like good old Joe, who's been around 50 years. You know him. He rides Amtrak. You know, he's from Scranton.
He was a lumberjack.
He's not dangerous. You know, Bernie Sanders was dangerous.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Warren was dangerous. This guy was not dangerous. He was benign. So they supported him. He wins the nomination. They screwed Bernie over again because he couldn't afford to have a lunatic.
He was never going to win.
Right. So you have this guy and you say, yeah, he's a moderate. He hasn't done one damn moderate thing. Not one since he's been in office. And this $3.5 trillion, which he is fighting for, even though he's supposed to be moderate, he's fighting for, you know, this liberal boondoggle. And if you cross him, you know, he's ready to crush you. Because the idea that he's compassionate or empathetic is ludicrous too. He watched this video, I assume everyone watched this video, these creeps following Sinema into the bathroom, going to her house the night before. Harassing her on an airplane as she flies back to D.C. And again, I give her credit. She said almost nothing to these people. Most human beings would say, get out of my face, get out of the bathroom. They wanted to get a charge out of her. They didn't. I give Kirsten Sinema credit. Because I think she's kind of a badass. Like I said, she does Ultraman.
You're saying triathlons.
Ironman triathlons. She's a big runner. She's an endurance athlete. She's a little crazy. She's bisexual. She dyes her hair. She wears crazy dresses. She's a little bit, you know,
she's not your typical, you know, 70-year-old congress member.
No, she's, right. Not Nancy Pelosi, who's 80-something. But so anyway, she gets accosted, as everyone has seen. They're harassing her, saying they're going to get her out of office. Yeah, good luck with that. Just what they want in Arizona. They want another AOC. They want another squad member. Anyway, the people harassing her, again, led by Sofia Majarnovic, a PhD and a advocate for illegal aliens and open borders, feels no remorse, no regret, harasses her as she's in the stall doing her business. If anything, I can't think of anything less appropriate. I mean, it's just...
I'm not sure I could go. I think I'd have to leave the bathroom and go find somewhere else.
And I wondered, would Biden condemn this? Because this is what he wants. I mean, he wants his foot soldiers out there attacking anybody, any enemy of the state, anybody who goes against his decrees. So they asked about it, and I think he went off script, to be honest with you. I think he was supposed to condemn it. Wink, wink. Oh, no, that was awful. We don't like that. But I told you yesterday, not a big deal, but I said this is what he's going to say.
Yeah.
And he did. He said it was, you know, part of the – happens to everybody. And again, the media just rolls over, except for Peter Ducey, and says, oh, it happens to everybody. But as I tweeted, and I looked, show me one other time where any, forget just, you know, harassing, you know, right-wingers or, you know, maverick moderate Democrats. Show me where any politician was attacked in the bathroom. Have you ever heard of it?
I've never heard of it.
Have you ever seen it? Because I don't think I've ever seen, I mean, obviously you see them in restaurants and you see them maybe on the street.
Sure. Right.
And like I said, they paddled up in their kayaks to Manchin's yacht. I don't think
on that yacht. Sink those bastards.
He came out on his deck and talked to them. And I guess
I didn't see the video. Was there a video on that?
They're yelling at him about, oh, this isn't spending. That's this way, you know.
It's free.
It's just free. It's just not spending. This is an investment. And he's like, yeah, whatever. I don't even know why he indulges him. You're right. He should have come out and just, you know, come up with a water cannon. I've never seen anyone go into the bathroom. Never seen anyone. I mean, this is a woman and they're following her in the bathroom. You would think that we would all agree that's inappropriate and threatening. There was a guy in the bathroom. He wasn't front row center, but he was with Sophia Marjanovic as they harassed a sitting senator. And by the way, if the president gets like 100 Secret Service agents, the vice president gets like 50, their kids are protected by Secret Service. Hunter has Secret Service protection, yeah, probably. Why wouldn't a sitting senator have like one person guarding her? One or two.
You'd think there'd be some sort of
security. Especially when there's a target on their back, and there is. They're after her. They're after Manchin. But Biden had this weak moment of candor where he admitted, essentially, that not a big deal. And I think it was a way to wink, wink, nod, nod, give his blessing and say, go get them to his foot soldiers like these crazy immigrant, you know, pro-illegal alien activists. But let's listen to Dementia Joe as he's asked about the attack on cinema yesterday.
President, you're talking about how you have 48 Democratic votes right now. The other two have been pressured over the weekend by activists. Joe Manchin had people on kayaks show up to his boat to yell at him. Senator Sinema last night was chased into a restroom. Do you think that those tactics are crossing a line?
I don't think they're appropriate tactics, but it happens to everybody. From the only people it doesn't happen to are people who have Secret Service standing around them. It's part of the process. Yes.
It's part of the process. Now, I mean, I realize it's a new day, a new low for Biden. You wake up in the morning and say, what will Biden do or say today to top yesterday's disgrace? It's part of the process.
I'm not offended by this comment as you are.
Part of the process. Again, it's not someone writing a letter or, you know, going to it. But by the way, this is the same day that Merrick Garland, the attorney general for Joe Biden, sicked the FBI. The FBI, who doesn't, never even said a word, did a thing about Antifa and BLM, who were burning down cities for a better part of a year. The FBI, you know, didn't get involved. That was a local matter. He wants the FBI to investigate angry parents who go to school board meetings and voice their opposition to critical race theory or to whatever the woke garbage they're teaching their children, indoctrinating their children with. So if you're a parent and you go to a meeting, you're going to be on the radar of Merrick Garland's FBI, of Joe Biden's FBI. That's how insane this administration is. It's okay. It's part of the process to chase sitting senators. By the way, what if the next person, you know, kicks in the stall door and like bashes her in the face? I mean,
still inappropriate tactics.
You're going to say, oh, part of the process? Was it part of the process, Joe Biden, when a gunman, I think his name was James Hodgkinson, unloaded his AR-15 on Steve Scalise and left him within an inch of his life, you know, because he opposed Obamacare? That was a Bernie bro, motivated by hate speech from the left, who almost killed a sitting congressman, wanted to kill them all, Rand Paul and everyone else, yeah, who was at that baseball field. Fortunately, guards with guns took him out. But will that be considered part of the process if the next person, you know, attacks, physically beats up Kristen Sinema or Joe Manchin, you know, throws him in the water or whatever, physically attacks him? Will Joe Biden say, oh, it happens to everyone? It does? Follow up for you, Joe. I know you don't do follow ups. I know you don't really do a lot of questions that aren't scripted except one from Peter Ducey. It happens to everyone. Who else has it happened to? Simple question.
You'd think we would have seen it with social media.
Who else has it happened to? Yeah. I mean, it's just ridiculous that you can't condemn that. Someone going in the bathroom and harassing a woman as she's sitting on the toilet. That's not enough for you to condemn.
And it's a stalker. It's the same woman who followed her on a plane, who I mean, had to figure out her itinerary, had to get a plane ticket. I mean, this is someone who put thought and effort into
who's being backed, who's being supported by some group, some Soros-backed group who are financing this lawlessness. And the president of the United States won't even condemn it. It's just despicable. And if you're going to say that's part of the process, you're going to give your blessing to the next person. That's what he's doing. Next person, go for it. And I just think, I don't know about Manchin, but I think Sinema is not the type of person. Maybe I'm just being optimistic. She's kind of an oddball, kind of eccentric, kind of a maverick. This is going to make her less likely. It's like the mask mandates or the vaccine mandates.
Oh.
Where you make people less likely.
Right.
They say, like Turtle Boy has said, when they threaten them with everything, then you dig in your heels. The type of person you're trying to appeal to is not the type of person who bows to that kind of pressure.
She's not going to just sit on that stall and take it.
No, no. And although she showed remarkable restraint, remarkable. It's almost not human to not react.
I'm sure
someone
she's
following you in the bathroom.
Well, that is
you say, get out of here. Or you say, are you really doing this? I mean, on the plane, she just kept working or looking at her computer or looking at her phone, didn't even acknowledge the woman who was harassing her on the plane. But I guess that's okay. I mean, if that were, again, AOC was just an irrelevant congressperson when you think about it. Or if that were Liz Warren, I mean, if that were someone on the other side of the aisle, again, those activists would be in jail right now, and I believe that 100%.
So I just want to remind you that on Locals we have an hour, so this is a good way to make our cut
off
less than an hour. So we have about 13 minutes left before
we could
we could
go on, but we're going to lose Locals?
Yeah, we'd lose Locals.
All right, well, let's get to a couple of things. If we accuse Fauci of flip-flopping a lot, because he has. I mean, if you've ever seen, there are a lot of people—
Oh, the mask montage is amazing.
Who chronicle all the flip-flops. When you go on TV with your friends in the mainstream media every day, you're bound to flip-flop. But even by those standards, Fauci is amazing. In a year and a half or in 9 months, he has been on both sides of every issue, masks and mandates and kids in school, you name it. But this one was dramatic, even by his standards. As we pointed out yesterday, he was on TV Sunday, I believe, with one of his dear friends on Face the Nation. You know, he has, I think they've named the green room after him on CBS, the evil elf green room, because he's there every Sunday doing any interviews with that. He's the ultimate egomaniac who can't get enough camera time, FaceTime. God knows when he actually works. But anyway, went on TV Sunday and said it's too early to tell if we'll be allowed to celebrate Christmas. That's what he said. We played it. We heard it. It's not like there's, people spliced it. He said what he said. And there was a big blowback, a lot of pushback on that one. A lot of people mocking him, ridiculing him, and saying, I'm not going to wait for Fauci. Can you imagine anybody? I know you probably have people in your life who are vaccinated, who believe in the vaccine, who like, you know, Biden and like mandates and like government shutdowns. Even they go, what? I'm not supposed to be with my family on Christmas? Are you insane? We didn't listen to him last year.
Right.
Why are we going to listen to him this year?
Well, and they were told that if they had the vaccine, they were safe. So they got the vaccine. Right. They did what they were told. And so, of course, they're like, I'm going to see my family.
And if one of your family said, I don't feel comfortable if you don't get double vaxxed, you'd be like, well, go screw. I don't want to be with you anyway.
Well,
right?
I've got a buddy's going to his wife's, his wife's sister's wedding, and they're requiring them to get COVID tested. Just these folks, because they haven't gotten the vaccine before they go to the
I've been to a few. I was at a few events this summer, parties and dinners, where they said you must be vaccinated, but nobody checked.
Yeah,
it's just a way to cover their ass. You
got
to be vaccinated.
Well, if you've got the vaccine necklace, then that's right. A good way to check. Yeah.
I mean, I got the tattoo. I got my barcode.
Oh, the
barcode, so you can scan it. But so yesterday, Fauci goes on and said he was taken out of context. And tell me this doesn't sound like a smarmy little a-hole when you listen to. I know he's annoyed me for a long time. But listen to this guy who just has no tolerance for anybody questioning his authority or his word from on high. If you dare question it, he's coming after you and saying, you took my words out of context. You were on video. It wasn't like it was secondhand. No. We heard what you said. We played it. But he flip-flopped like 12 hours later.
Best way to assure that we'll be in good shape as we get into the winter would be to get more and more people vaccinated. That was misinterpreted as my saying we can't spend Christmas with our families, which was absolutely not the case. I will be spending Christmas with my family. I encourage people, particularly the vaccinated people who are protected, to have a good, normal Christmas with your family. But
That's the Christmas elf, Tony Fauci. That's bad news for his family. They were hoping it'd be...
That he would stay at home.
Yeah, he'd stay at home. Stay in the green room at CNN, where he spends most of his free time waiting for someone to interview him. But I thought it was a good sign that most people mocked and ridiculed him and said, we're done with you. We're done listening. It's over, Fauci. By the way, on Christmas Eve, the angry elf turns 81. 81. Wow. So we're taking orders from an 81-year-old, you know, public health official, and 80-year-old Nancy Pelosi, and 78 going on 108-year-old president. Again, these are people you wouldn't allow to drive. You would take their key. And I'm serious. You would never trust them, you know, to be your Uber driver.
No.
I mean, you wouldn't trust them, you know, to deliver your mail. You wouldn't allow them to hold your baby. You know, you wouldn't allow them to do to paint your porch. You'd say, person's too old. They're not with it. And yet we allow them to, you know,
shut down the country.
Sign a $3.5 trillion budget to shut down the country, to shut down businesses, to mask up 5-year olds. We're allowing these insane, overreaching edicts from people who shouldn't even be allowed to try to, you know, work the remote for your TV.
No, they should be watching TV and just hanging out at home.
Taking
at
walks,
point.
If they can do it, taking walks. Yes, and enjoying their golden years. They're not supposed to be the most powerful people on the planet, but we've discussed that enough. All right, let's get to.
I want to do Shay, and then
I want to do Shay Concrete, and then we're going to do the Sage Steele story. I don't know. It didn't get a lot of play, but I find it interesting. Sage Steele, who doesn't want to call herself black, even though it helps if you're at ESPN, it helps if you're in the mainstream media. She doesn't want to do it, and we will tell you why after we tell you about Shay Concrete. This is for you homeowners and home builders out there. Did you know that Shay Concrete has a huge selection of precast concrete steps? Of course you did. I've been telling you about this. This is the best thing. I think it might be the best thing they do is their precast concrete steps. Whether you're building a new home or you need to replace an old staircase in an old home, Shay has great values with designs for any home. Available in concrete, or you can customize the steps with beautiful stone, granite, or brick. A new staircase can dramatically upgrade the front entrance of your home. In most cases, they can remove the old stairs and have you walking up your new front steps within hours. Just like that. You call Shay, they come over, they take the old steps away, which, by the way, they're really heavy. That is a pain in the ass. They take the old steps away, they put the new steps. You can sit in the window with the AC cranking and watch it all happen. And when they're done, your house looks better and it's worth more. This isn't an expense. This is an investment in your home. Check it out. You can learn more about Shay's precast concrete steps at shayconcrete.com. And by the way, you can also look for a job there. You can go to Shay Concrete. Or get on shayconcrete.com. They're always hiring. It's a great company, a great place to work. Maybe it's time for you to upgrade your profession and go work for Shay. Check that out as well at shayconcrete.com. You probably don't know. You don't even know that I hate watch SNL.
Oh, I know this. You're one step away from writing letters to advertisers.
I was stalking Sage Steele. I was stalking. I was ogling Sage Steele at the Super Bowl one year. She sparkles, man. She glows. She's an extremely attractive woman. And I never really thought about what her race or ethnicity was. But, you know, if you're one of these race-obsessed, you know, Jemele Hill types, or, you know, you're Max Kellerman, ESPN types, you think, oh, good, we have a prominent black woman and who's very good at her job at ESPN. Let's count. We've got this many blacks, this many whites, this many Hispanics, gays. When you're one of those types who, in the woke mob who makes everything about race, you think Sage Steele is black. Well, she doesn't say she's black because she's, I don't want to be proud, because she's mixed race. You know, yeah. She's biracial. Right. She says, I'm biracial.
She's Irish and Italian on one side.
And she questioned, and I give her credit. She did this on a podcast with Jay Cutler, which I'm kind of surprised she went on there.
Yeah, he's got to be a kind of a crappy host. Can he even talk?
I don't know.
He sounds like a moron every time I hear
heard it. All I know is...
Well, I have her talking about it, too, if you want to
She talks about it, and she gets in hot water with the race hustlers, all the usual suspects, because she questions Barack Obama calling himself black because his father, who was black from Kenya, was an absentee father, not a good father, was gone. And the mother... who did all the work raising him and was there and, you know, with him, you know, for his whole life until the day she died, she was white. So why not say, I'm biracial? That's the way Sage Steele looks at it. You know, her mother's white, her father's black, and she says, I'm a product of both of them, and I'm not going to turn my back for, you know, political reasons on my own mother. Sounds pretty logical, doesn't it? Sounds like an interesting conversation. Well, it didn't go over well with some of ESPN colleagues and other in the race hustling community, but let's listen to the lovely Sage Steele.
If they make you choose a race,
she's
like, what are you going to put? I go, well, both. She's like, well, you can't. He goes, well, what if Barack Obama chose black and he's biracial? I'm like, well, congratulations to the president. That's his thing. I go, I think that's fascinating considering his black dad was nowhere to be found, but his white mom and grandma raised him. But hey, you do you. I'm going to do me.
She said,
listen, I'm pretty sure my white mom was there when I was born, and my white family loves me as much as my black family.
Oh, those are,
equal love.
Those words are radioactive right now. Carrie Champion, whatever her name is, Carrie Champion from ESPN says, sigh, my dad wasn't around when I was younger, but I'm still black. Sarah Spain, another total left-wing race hustler, said, a reminder to women journalists, women everywhere, that you wear, Sage Steele often also talked about what people wear.
Yeah.
And they're responsible if they wear whatever provocative outfits. They know what they're doing, which they do, by the way. Speaking of provocative outfits, did you see what Kyrsten Sinema was wearing on that plane?
I did not.
Ooh. She knows how to, you know, get attention.
Okay.
And she's an attractive woman. But anyway, she did that, and a lot of the people in the media didn't like Sage Steele doing that. And she was attacked by Jemele Hill, who said, so on top of thinking former President Barack Obama shouldn't identify as black because he didn't have a relationship with his black father, Sage Steele also thinks female journalists who dress a certain way know what they're doing when they put that outfit on. That's clown behavior. Tell me what she said that was wrong. I mean, honestly.
Nothing.
She sounds thoughtful.
And she just said, I think it's fascinating. She didn't say that he should or he shouldn't. He said, this is a peek into his psyche.
And she also, by the way, this is going to get her canceled. She doesn't like the mandatory vaccine at ESPN. She didn't want to get it. They forced her to get it. She called it sick and scary that they forced her, a young, fit, thin, healthy person, to get the injection just to keep her job, which she did, but she called it sick and scary. I like it. I always liked Sage Steele. I like her more now. She's kind of a rebel because she doesn't want to turn her back on her white mom.
Yeah, listen to black voices, except for if they're saying
and
certain thing.
I guess the argument would be this will open doors. If you say you're black and you're in the media at ESPN, don't you want to get advanced? Don't you see what happened to Rachel Nichols? Didn't you see what happened to, all the old white guys? We booted them out the door, all the Mike Golics and Trey Wingos. We want people like you, not just call yourself black, damn it. And she's like, but what about mom? It's a good question, but, you know, again, it brings us back to this point, Carano. No questions allowed.
None.
No curiosity.
And that's why we're here. Less than 3 minutes left. I'm giving you a T-minus.
Wow. We are, all right, we are running out of time. We want to, no, that's good. I got to everything I wanted to get to.
All right.
And, we got to hear what you had for dinner last night.
Yes.
What was it again?
Meat.
Yeah, meat. Good. Meat. Something different. Meat.
It's either ribeye or sirloin. And sirloin is normally what it is.
Every night?
Every day. That's pretty much my diet.
You have ribeye or sirloin, nothing else?
Pretty much. Sometimes I'll have eggs or some cheese and stuff. Pretty much.
What about like chicken?
I will, but it's not
what
as
about
satisfying.
Fish?
I don't like fish.
So you have the same thing every night?
Yeah, it's it's satisfying, actually.
Yeah. I mean, it's good. I love ribeye. I love steak. But, you know, you got to mix it up. You ever have, like, pork chops?
Yeah, sometimes we'll do pork, but it's just not as...
You ever have, like, Mexican?
Very rarely. I very rarely eat anything else besides this.
You sound like a boring person. I love food, but... I'm glad I don't follow you on Facebook.
Okay.
You tweet out pictures of the ribeye?
I did not.
Well, why not?
Well, I will tonight for you.
You're supposed to do. There aren't many people who do that on Twitter. I'll say that. No, some people do, but not many. You summed it up right. Twitter's for people who want to read the news and opinions. And Facebook is for people
fighting with your
who
family.
Want to see how your friends from high school or whatever, your ex-girlfriend from high school is doing. So I'll let you handle the Facebook thing and the Locals thing. Thank you to everybody for listening, for watching on Locals, for commenting. I promise you, Carano's reading all your comments. He's not really paying attention to me. He's reading all the comments.
Half and half.
But I appreciate it. And we'll do. Are we going to do this every day, or we have yet to decide? We have yet to determine.
Yeah, we'll have to think about it.
We will see how it goes. We'll see if YouTube, you know, strikes us out, because we did some anti-vax talk today. You know, we didn't actually, but we talked about the vaccine and about Cole Beasley.
Less than a minute.
Okay, I'm going to wait. Pressure's on. Cole Beasley says,
just end this stream.
I want to see you get nervous.
Could you say goodbye?
All right. I will say goodbye. Thank you, Carano. Thank you to everybody for listening. I'm Jerry Callahan. This is The Callahan Show. We will talk to you again tomorrow.